This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Hey America, have you been on Twitter? Seems that so much news breaks there. That's not unusual, right? Kate Delaney, America Tonight. So as we go from side to side, meaning I think we live in a world where, and I say this all the time, so I don't want to sound like a broken record. We know it, right? It's your team and my team. It's the us's and the them's, da 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 da. And really today it's about who was the author of that op-ed piece that was so scathing about the administration, particularly about the president, that was in the New York Times, but was anonymous because they would lose their job. People were speculating on all kinds of names pretty high up the chain, but the real thought is that doesn't make any sense. I believe that it would be somebody who would put themselves in that situation. Why? There's no gain, especially if they felt like they were trying to save the country. We're going to save the country from some of the great decisions that the president makes, but then, you know, some of the decisions that seem awful erratic and the way he is critical in certain areas, and, you know, I'm not even doing what was said justice, but here's what I wonder. The New York Times essay called "I Am Part of the Resistance Inside the Trump Administration," it was posted by an anonymous senior administration official. So it's crazy. You know, you brutally criticize the president and now put everyone on this guessing game about who the author might be. But why would the paper give a platform to an unnamed source just being identified as a senior official in the Trump administration? And, of course, throughout it, there were weaved little poisonous darts, like the president continues to act in a manner that is detrimental to the health of our republic. So, yes, you can have anonymous sources, but it's very rare that you would see it in this situation when an editorial is published anonymously. As somebody who went to journalism school, I can never remember seeing this in my day. I can never remember seeing this at all. You have some who teach media ethics. There's one guy that was quoted from Widener University in Chester, PA, not far from where I grew up, saying it's against the traditional ethics of journalism, but it reflects the times, that the Times thinks that we've got a national crisis and it calls for an unusual measure. It is a incredibly rare step. Saying that the author cannot put their name to the essay for fear of losing their job and potential retribution. Wow. So, it's unusual. The official revealed that early during Trump's presidency, some in the cabinet considered invoking the 25th Amendment, which would set in motion the potential removal of the president because he's unfit for office. Wow. So this is wild. And so people keep thinking Vice President Mike Pence did this and maybe had some help, like with the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, but I don't think so. That doesn't really make sense to me. And all of this on the heels of what's coming out on September 12th, Bob Woodward's upcoming book, Fear, Trump in the White House. Very, very rare. Very rare and strange to see that, because it's not the usual course at all. So lots of Republicans, of course, it's easy. They're blasting the op-ed, because why wouldn't they do that? It's not something you would normally see. For example, Senator Mike Rounds Republican from South Dakota said the op-ed was simply a disgruntled employee. There's really no reason to do something about it at this point. Tom Tillis, a North Carolina Republican, said, this is something the White House can clearly look at and sort out. I don't know why we'd be using the resources of Congress to pursue it. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders issued kind of an unusual statement encouraging reporters to call the New York Times, gave out the phone number, and she said the media's wild obsession with the identity of the anonymous coward is recklessly tarnishing the reputation of thousands of great Americans who proudly serve our country and work for President Trump. We stand united together and fully support our president. I think this op-ed had a powerful effect on how the staff interact with each other, is what one aide is saying, and the staff don't trust each other. Well, I can see why there would be some questions with the leaks that have been, and now this op-ed piece, crazy. Burt Reynolds was, believe it or not, in the 70s, a sex symbol. He had some funny movies out, including Smokey and the Bandit. He died at the age of 82. He had health issues, and he was having trouble breathing, had a heart attack, and then that was it. But he was known for all kinds of things. Again, funny movies, and he was known for high profile loves with actresses like Sally Field, Lonnie Anderson, that kind of thing. And he was somebody who, you know, made a few comeback movies like Boogie Nights. He was in Boogie Nights. So 1936 to 2018, rip to Burt Reynolds, who definitely could make you laugh, even if he made a few clunkers along the way. Besides the New York Times op-ed, anonymous piece, and yada yada, conversations about that, there were a few other things that happened across America that are head-scratchers, and sadly, one of them is what happened in Cincinnati. You had somebody who was disgruntled, and they randomly, it looks like, shot, you know, went into a bank building, and they shot, leaving three people dead and two injured at bank headquarters, in fact. And the guy's name was Omar Santa Perez, and he could have killed, they say, over 100 people because he was massively armed. So it's incredibly fortunate and unfortunate at the same time. I mean, right in the heart of Cincinnati. Right in the heart. A 31-story office tower in downtown Cincy. Open fire. Boom. That was it. And then he was killed in an exchange with the police of gunfire. He was alone. People can't, even his family was asked, they can't understand what would have happened here, why he would have done this. And that's the story now. What do we know? Why this kind of a rampage? Gunshots, chaos, dozens of police officers rushing to the scene quickly, exchanging gunfire with the suspect. As the crowd of people who've been on their way to work scattered across a place called Fountain Square to get to safety. It was right in the middle of that. Stay with us.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself. health, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Long-distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Get relief for your neck or back pain when you search Amazon for sunshine pillows, heating wraps, and pads, often listed as an Amazon choice.
Why take another pill?
Now, from Sunny Bay and by customer demand, we introduce our extra-long neck heating wrap, a complete wrap, wide and hands-free, and brings fast relief to those who suffer from neck or back pain.
You can easily find sunshine pillows on Amazon.
Or search Amazon for our new Sunny Bay disposable heat pads. Or look for Sunny Bay heated neck wraps for relief from back pain to menstrual pain and cramps.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
See why our company, Biomed DB Design, has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Just go to Amazon.com and search Sunny Bay or call us 253-678-1361.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
But today, if you can't, then it doesn't matter anyway. You will never understand it, cause it happens. And it feels so good, it's like walking the glass. So
let's dig in the mailbag.
All right, so let's go right to the mailbag. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. Mailbag full. Thank you for that. People are starting to really get it and uncover that, you know what, you got to go to katedelaneyradio.com. I made it that way because people were going to this other site, americatonight.com, which was not what the site was. So katedelaneyradio.com, all signs point in that direction. So that's where you want to be. How's that? Just go there and you can let it flow. It did happen today, and there was a big eruption about the New York Times and this op-ed piece. This one was from Michael. Kate, I used to email you a lot. I am listening to your show. Trust me, I do it on TuneIn Radio. Tell everyone about that because I travel a lot, so I listen to you in the morning when I'm getting ready usually, or when I'm taking my walk, when I'm on the road somewhere. Bravo, I'm so glad you're still around. It's pretty tough, I'm sure, in the radio environment these days. But I got to tell you, this whole op-ed piece thing really gets under my skin. The reason it does is just because I don't understand why they would publish something that was anonymous. I mean, that's not normally what you would do in an op-ed piece that goes after the president, says that I work for the president and this is how we all feel, that kind of thing. And I say bravo to Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who tweeted out this number for the opinion desk of the New York Times, 212-556-1234, 212-556-1234, which is, by the way, the New York Times opinion desk. And that's what she said in her statement. If you want to know who this gutless loser is, call the opinion desk. So we got a couple more like that. We got one here from Rick. Wow, that is so low for the gray lady, even the gray lady to go there, Kate, where they do an op-ed piece with no author. Are you kidding? If that had happened during a Clinton administration or Obama administration, people would have went berserk. And I think some people are offended and think it's ridiculous, but not to the extent that it would be if it was a Democrat. Do you think that would have happened? Oh, of course. I absolutely think that anybody who's president, any of their administrations would go nuts over it because, again, it's that backward attack where it's not honest. Okay, so if it's me and I'm saying I work here, this is the nonsense that's going on, here's how I feel, this is what we all think, or a big chunk of us, whatever. There's something slickish to me about it. It just doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right. But the New York Times, I mean, for whatever you could gripe about the New York Times, who's ever publishing that, who the lead publisher is, who the publisher is, and then ultimately those in charge in the newsroom, they made that decision that this was real, this was important, we know the source, we feel good about it, and this is what we're going to do. That's what we're doing. How about this? I got a note from Eli who says, Kate, can you believe there's evidence of Syria preparing chemical weapons? That is outrageous. And it's outrageous because of what it does to people, and it's sickening to even think that that's happening. Al-Assad has lost his mind, don't you think? Well, I think he lost his mind a long time ago. And this, Idlib is where we're talking about. It is dangerous, and there are rebel groups in that area, that whole kind of thing. But who gets tanked by what they put out there, the toxic gas that they have, the chemical weapon, who gets hit with that? And there's lots of evidence for this. It would be reckless. It would be. So Washington has issued a strong warning to Syria's government against using chemical weapons, of course, in the expected offense. I just know what you see after those weapons get fired, and there's always the innocents that are caught in the middle of it. How about from Michael? Kate, here we go again. It's crazy to see what's happening with immigration. I was reading a story today that more than 400 children of illegals are still detained. No matter what, you got to remember that's also costing us. And they have these shelters that they're in. So they're trying to reunite families, but can you imagine how tough that is? 14 are younger than 5 is what I heard. And it's where the parent isn't eligible to be reunified with the child, or the parent isn't in the United States. So what are they going to do? Parents of 304 of the children in custody are outside of the United States, according to all these documents. So they're outside of the United States. They can't be reunited. Boy, that whole thing is just... this is just a trite word. There's not even a good word for it. It's a nightmare. It should have been handled so long ago that we wouldn't have these problems, but you can't go back into the past. So you got to move forward in the future. And what is it that you do to end this nonsense? What do you do? And the answer is you do the things that are being talked about, and you get people behind it, and you try to figure out how do we make this work, and what can we do as much as we can possibly do to reunite families together, because now this is what we're talking about. All right, so how about this? A lot of conversation about Brett Kavanaugh, who I think easily will be the next Supreme Court justice. You know, he did another 12-hour deal on Thursday, and doesn't seem like there's anything to trip him up. when you ask the president, he says he's pleased with his performance, or, you know, his televised performance. Republicans are uniting behind him, and the president says he's eager to add a conservative judge. So that's not shocking either. Democrats are concerned that Kavanaugh will push the court to the right and he'll side with Trump in cases stemming from Mueller's investigation of Russian interference in the 2016 election and possibly ties to the Trump campaign. Because he's been careful how he's answered, and of course he's smart to do that, because no matter what, he can't wade in too heavily, because then that better be what he does and talks about once he's confirmed. Republicans hope to confirm, by the way, Kavanaugh in time for the first day of the new Supreme Court term, you know, and that is October 1st. So when the Supremes are back, that's going to be so much of the conversation, if he, in fact, is confirmed by then, which there's a very good chance of that. A very good chance that that'll happen. Okay, jumping around and going from this op-ed piece with no author and then trying to guess who it is, which is crazy, to Syrian weapons and Burt Reynolds dying and, you know, where we're headed next to the 400 kids who aren't being reunited with their family because they can't be because they're not here. It's interesting in looking at the cross-section of what else is happening. I saw some pretty interesting news about productivity. How about this? Workers' productivity, and I got this note from Jim, who says, Kate, do you know anything about labor statistics? Because we just went through Labor Day and productivity rates. I saw something from the Labor Department, and I thought it was pretty interesting about non-farm productivity, which is what they call it. Yeah, the this quarterly thing that they do, the Labor Department said that this non-farm productivity is what they called it, but it measures hourly output per worker increased to 2.9% at annualized rate. So they're saying productivity grew at 0.3%. That was the rate in the first quarter. And then the second quarter productivity is being raised to 3.0% in line with a little bit of a gross domestic product growth for that period. So that's all, of course, good news, strong productivity for a lot of different reasons. And if we end our war, let's call it that, with China, meaning the economic stranglehold on both sides of this, it probably jumps up even higher. So some big reforms have been put in place after the global financial crisis a decade ago that left central banks in terrible shape to deal with another international problem, an all-out cyber attack on banks, that kind of stuff. So the Fed has weaker economic emergency powers than 10 years ago, but where do we head from there? All right, stay with us. Much more coming up around the bend with me, Kate Delaney, here on America Tonight.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. CEO Les Moonves is out at CBS effective immediately. That word from the company in the wake of the mounting sexual harassment allegations against Moonves. Tony DeCoppel is with CBS.
The number of women now publicly accusing CBS President Les Moonves of sexual misconduct has doubled to 12, according to a new report by The New Yorker detailing six previously unreported incidents, which allegedly took place between the 1980s and early 2000s. According to the magazine, they include claims that Moonves forced them to perform oral sex on him, exposed himself to them without their consent, and that he used physical violence and intimidation against them.
CBS has announced $2 million will be donated to Me Too organizations to be deducted from severance benefits that may be due Moonves. You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS and you cannot afford to make payments to the IRS, you may qualify for the CNC tax program. This is a new program, and if you qualify, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Once you're accepted into this program, the IRS is forced to stop all harassing collection activities. No threatening phone calls, no wage garnishments, no bank levies, and no more monthly payments to the IRS. Get ready to write this number down. It's the most important number you'll ever need to end your IRS tax nightmare. Call Paramount Tax Relief at 800-547-4804 for a free confidential consultation to find out if you qualify for the CNC tax program. Once you are accepted into the CNC tax program, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Call Paramount Tax Relief now at 800-547-4804. That's 800-547-4804. Again, 800-547-4804.
Message and data rates may apply. Individual results may vary. See website for details.
But hey, I'm buying a huge flat-screen TV so I can finally see it without my glasses.
Why not just get LASIK at the LASIK Vision Institute? That's what I'm doing.
My glasses and contacts are a pain. I'd love to finally get rid of these, but who can afford LASIK?
You can. Because the LASIK Vision Institute is offering dramatically low prices and an absolutely free consultation. Just text DO33 to 350350. The LASIK Vision Institute has already performed over a million procedures. They use the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology that helps the majority of patients achieve 20/20 vision for a fraction of what others charge. Better vision, better value. The LASIK Vision Institute. Make this the year you finally get LASIK. For a free consultation plus an extra 20% discount, text DO33 to 350350. You'll see for free if LASIK is right for you. That's DO33 to 350350.
To the show, Jimmy Mosley. He's written a book called From the Outhouse to the White House. I love that title because it's so provocative. It really kind of pulls you in and makes you wonder, what's that about? And he's led such an interesting life. Jimmy, thanks so much for coming on.
Well, thanks for having me on America Tonight, Kate.
You know, here's the thing. You and I were talking about this a little bit off the air, and I certainly read about your background, and in reading the book, really got a great sense of who you are and what matters to you in your life. And you grew up in what I call a pea shooter town, but one with a real soul, right? Tell us about your early beginnings.
Well, I started working at a very early age in life. My mom was a great influence. And, you know, just my story, the way I grew up on that plantation in southern Mississippi, and I felt like my story was noteworthy and it just needed to be told. My name is Jimmy Mosley. I'm a retired Army veteran as well as a retired educator. My second career was a JROTC instructor at the high school level. And I had the privilege of working with kids another 20 years after my first 20 years in the military. And right now I'm pretty active in my church ministry.
You know, here's what's interesting. As far as what the book is concerned, as you said, you thought you needed to get it out there. Explain that. What made you write the book?
I felt that as an educator, I had a connection with my students. I found that over 60% of my students assigned to my ROTC came from a single-parent household. And that was the connection that I had with them. The students were more interested interested in a relationship than learning classroom subject material. They wanted to know how Army life were, but more about how I had arrived to this stage of my life. And it was a good icebreaker, and it's always a good icebreaker for educators to give the students the opportunity to introduce themselves to the class, but they wanted to know about me. It appeared that my life was something new to them. The students would complete their class assignments in record time just to hear more about my plantation stories. And I had a coworker say to me, he said, "Man, these kids really enjoy hearing about your life." He said, "You need to document some of these stories." And that's what started tugging on me a little bit. And I ran out of excuses. I was just simply out of excuses. And I sat down and said, "Look, got to do this. I feel that the Lord has put it on my heart. So I got to make it happen."
So you've got to tell us some of these plantation stories. What are some of the stories that you've told and that you tell in the book that you think really resonate with people?
Well, I introduced my readers to extreme poverty. From outhouse to White House, my life actually started on a little shotgun house right outside of Itabena, Mississippi. And that's out there where Mississippi Valley State University is located, in case people didn't know. But in a shotgun house, it was like you look right through the front door and you look straight through the back. This house did not have indoor plumbing. So we had an outhouse way out back. And something as simple as toilet paper that we take for granted today. But we had Sears and Roebuck catalog back then, and that was kind of interesting. And I explain a little bit more of that in my book. But there were extreme poverty. There was a lot of racism. A lot of the plantation girls, even my sisters and brothers, you know, for a long time I held some resentment there because I felt like I could have stepped up and did more in terms of protecting them during times of abuse. So that was some pretty hard times there. But my single parent mom, I explained how she used that wisdom that was given to her from God and was able to keep our family together, you know, and I believe that as a people, we can take hate and replace it with faith and overcome those barriers.
Yeah, do you feel that that's what got you through the hard beginnings and what you learned from your mom and your faith?
Yeah, I feel like it was my faith, and those are values that she implanted in me as a child. Whether she knew it or not, I was learning from those experiences. Even when it would rain in the little shotgun house, she would have us sit down on a little bench, cover up with a blanket, and she said, "Don't talk when it's raining because God is at work." And, you know, it was like, okay. And even as an adult today, I find myself when it's raining and I'm thinking about that and I'm saying, well, you know, God is doing his work now. So, you know, I have to really respect that. And, you know, my drill sergeant was the first real man I'm talking about. I wanted to become like this man. And I believe I became this man. And that became more real to me when I graduated from drill sergeant school. Well, first of all, I latched on to Drill Sergeant Wilder, and I started mimicking him. I started imitating him. I started singing like him. I started running like him. And I noticed how his uniform always looked so sharp. And he was the first, I would say, real man that I kind of just latched on to. And I think I mimicked him throughout my military career. And as I went through drill sergeant school, I had 92 of 93 votes. And it was because I had latched on to this guy and just wanted to be a drill sergeant. And I put my drill sergeant hat on, and I was the first to walk across the stage, distinguished honor graduate, got 92 out of 93 votes. And then I said, well, somebody didn't vote for me. And then I realized I didn't vote for myself. So, yes, I feel like God put my mom and put Drill Sergeant Wilder right there to help me out. That way I can never use an excuse of not having a parent. And I tell my kids, it's time out for excuses. Let's not use excuses. Let's go ahead and pursue our dreams and our goals. And I just kind of want to be an encouragement. I believe the stories that I have in Outhouse and White House is going to be a great encouragement to a lot of single parent mothers and to a people. Because as a people, we're going to have to get it together.
Oh, I so agree with that. And what you just said there, that's what I call a tweetable moment about just stop the blaming. And does it seem like people are, to you, are looking for those excuses, are looking to whine and not just do what you can simply do by embracing life?
Hey, I've seen it throughout the military 20 years, and I've seen it as a 20-year educator, and I continuously see it today. Excuses uses excuses. And if I can just persuade one reader to just never give up on that dream or that goal and just know that God's always going to put somebody, he's got a ram in the bush, always a ram in the bush. You can look around and, you know, he's always got someone there that's going to kind of help you get over that next hurdle. But just if I can get one reader to just not give up on pursuing that dream or the goal, no matter how large. And you can look at my story as I came from an 8-year-old kid out on the plantation chopping cotton, no shoes, making the same amount of money as my mom. And he took me from that outhouse and led me all the way into becoming the NCOIC of Joint Service Operations at the White House and performing throughout the nation's capital in front of President Ronald Reagan and a few other presidents. And he took me there, and even though there were not many African-American men there, and there was a lot of racism and obscene phone calls, and I'm going to have to change my telephone number 4 or 5 times a month just to keep the obscene phone calls from going on all night. But God always pulled me through, and I am so grateful today, and I have no resentment for my life, and I just kind of want to give back to this great country.
Wow. What was that like, the White House experience? You described some of it there. Did you ever think you would end up in the position that you ended up in, where you would be in such high regard, really, to be all the way from, like you say, from the outhouse to the White House?
I had no idea. I do know that as a soldier, I wanted to be sharp. I just wanted to wake up early in the morning and just start cleaning the bathrooms and stuff. And even as a private, you know, they would call me out of formation to sing to the rest of the group. And I was mimicking Drill Sergeant Wilder, and it just took me all the way to the top. You know, I was an Army First Sergeant. It just got me to the top real quick. But I had no idea that, you know, it really wasn't work. I'm thinking it was like service, because I'm saying, whoa, man, why would a person want to give up something like this? It was a dream come true for me, joining the military. Man, I just know, you know, it was a God thing. But ending up at the White House is a mystery to me. I know I was overseas, and a recruiting team came by, and they pulled a few guys out. I was going up for the Sergeant Morales Club, you know, good soldiers. And I got interviewed, and I got a letter saying I was accepted to the Old Guard, the 3rd U.S. Infantry Station in Fort Myer, Virginia. And I got selected. But when I got there and I seen, looked around, I didn't see anybody that looked like me. I was like, whoa, man. Okay. So I just started training, and I said, I'm going to be the best soldier that I can be, and I'm going to do this. And I became part of the Presidential Honor Guard and Congressional Escort. So I just started doing things, and I kind of enjoyed going out, you know, doing ceremonies at the White House, and, you know, the Army being the senior service, so you would always be in position over to the right. And then when I became the leader, you know, I got to march all the units on the White House lawn as NCOIC, our service operations at the White House. I was pretty good at that. So drill sergeant school was, man, it was like easy. I took all the guys telling us, well, let's go outside under the street lights at night, and I'm going to walk you through it. I'm going to talk you through it. And I was so tied up in the helping the other guys that was having problems. It got to the point where everybody just kind of recognized me as distinguished honor graduate. And I know that was a God. It had to be a God thing. There's no way I could have did this without God. So I am just so grateful. Some people say, you know, I should hold some resentment toward a lot of the plantation owners and the way their sons used to do, even with my sisters. I talk a little bit about that, and it's broke my heart. Now, no justifiable resentment. So I'm just ready to pour back into the religious ministry. And I'm just hoping the outhouse of White House can be a blessing to every human on the planet. I believe it's a message for humankind, not just single moms or people that are looking for excuses. This would be a blessing for humankind. And, man, I just feel that the hand of God is just all over it, on every page.
I love it. From the outhouse to the White House, Jimmy Mosley, what a delight to speak with you. And we can tell everybody that you can pick up the book, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, wherever great books are sold. Thanks for joining us.
And thank you for having me. Indeed, an honor.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down, and, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit parkdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Healthcare reform is confusing, but whether it's finding an affordable insurance plan, keeping your doctor, or being able to afford needed prescriptions, navigating the healthcare system has become a challenge. Control your own healthcare costs and choices with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of each other's medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Let's talk tough. Let's talk comfort. Let's talk about down home value. Made in the USA blue jeans, like you wore as a kid. Remember?
There's a place down in Tennessee where they make blue diamond gusset jeans. They show pride in every stitch. Guarantee you love the way they fit. Put a diamond gusset in the crotch where you need it most. Blue diamond gusset's got it. Others don't.
For good old-fashioned comfort, get diamond gusset jeans. Every stitch guaranteed. And our Defender motorcycle jean comes Kevlar reinforced. See them at GUSSET.com. That's gusset.com. Or call 888-848-7738. That's 888-848-7738. Diamond gusset jeans got it. Others don't.
Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Really excited to welcome our next guest to the show. Her name is Teresa Carrington, founder, CEO at 10x3, 10x3.org. You can check it out there. Formerly known as the Blessing Basket Project. So, Teresa, the first question is, what is or was, I guess, is the better way to say it, the Blessing Basket Project?
Kate, thanks so much for having me. The Blessing Basket Project is a nonprofit organization, and we exist to sustainably end poverty. And we recently rebranded, as you mentioned, to 10x3 because after 13 years of doing the work that we're doing and helping thousands of impoverished people across 3 continents and 7 countries sustainably exit poverty, we realized we were onto something and that we had actually discovered a formula to sustainably end poverty, which is 10x3. Purchasing 10 products a month at Prosperity Wages, which is a model I invented for 3 years, equals a sustainable end to poverty for people living in developing economies around the world.
Okay, Teresa, I'm going to jump in here because I know you and I know your story well. For the benefit of our listeners, I still want you to go back and explain what the Blessing Basket Project is so they know so they understand the 10x3 part. So kind of go back to the beginning and tell us the story.
You know when you hit a moment in your life and you're like, okay, it couldn't get any lower than this. And then something else happens. So I found myself in 1999 in one of the darkest hours of my life. I'm a single mom. I'm raising two beautiful children, and I get a blow in the gut that I don't think I can recover from.
Yeah.
People around me see what's happening to me, and they start randomly just sending me cards and letters of support. And I started putting them all around a den that I had and just on the fireplace and on bookshelves. And pretty soon, the entire room was overwhelmed with cards. And on really hard days, when I did not think I could take another step, when I was thinking horrible thoughts like maybe my mom or my aunt could raise my children, like I didn't think I could get up the next morning and go again, I would reach for one of the cards. And there would be this beautiful note of encouragement and a belief in me that I was destined for something bigger and greater. And day by day, card by card, and rereading those cards day by day, slowly I got put back together. And the cards became so many, and the random acts of kindness became so many, that I started collecting them in a basket. And the minute those cards were released into that basket on this particular day was the moment that what the rest of the world now knows as the Blessing Basket Project was born. And the Blessing Basket Project is really just my attempt to pay forward what other people have done for me in my life. Because I knew as life started putting me back together, there was no way I could ever repay those people for what they did. And the fact is, they didn't even know they had done something, right? It was just a random act of kindness that they did. Yet for me, it was everything. And slowly by slowly, it put me back together. And I thought, I gotta do something. Like, I can't be the recipient of this amazing goodness without doing something. And that is the seed that began what today is known as the Blessing Basket Project, which would then become 10 by 3.
Okay, so you're teasing us, Teresa. Tell us what the Blessing Basket Project is. It's bigger than that basket in your den full of cards.
Absolutely.
It's a lovely story, but keep it going.
How do you pay forward that kind of love? What do you do? I grew up below the poverty line in the United States. And I know how it feels to be trapped in conditions beyond your control. I was an adopted kid at the age of 8. So I know what it feels like not to have parents, not to have hope, and to be overwhelmed by conditions around you, as I said, that are beyond your control. So I knew that the best and most authentic way for me to pay forward what those people had done for me was to tackle the issue of poverty. And I wanted to start in the United States, where I grew up that way, on a farm in central Kansas, and decided that I was going to start in the Appalachian Mountains because the Appalachians represent, at that time, 15 years ago, where the majority of our nation's poverty was concentrated. So 15 years ago, the Internet wasn't what it is today, and you couldn't just Google somebody, and it was very difficult to find information back then, but I was a really good researcher and found a professor who was living in the northeast of the country who had just done an in-depth study on poverty in the Appalachians. So I called him, found his home phone number, and called him. And I'm sure by now he's completely changed his phone number because some crazy lady called him one day about a bunch of baskets. But as I told him my story that I've similarly shared with you and said that now what I want to do is find people who are living in poverty who can make baskets that will be called blessing baskets, and we can help get them out of poverty. And the first words out of his mouth were, "That's not going to work." And I'm like, "Oh, no, 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 no. You don't understand who you're talking to. You're talking to Teresa. Of course it's going to work. It's my idea. It's the best idea ever on the everness." And he said, "No, it's not going to work." So this tug of war goes back and forth for a little while. And finally I said, okay, you have me. Why won't it work?" He said, "Well, the people of the Appalachians can't weave baskets." I was like, "Okay, you have my attention. So what do I do?" And he said, "You need to go where poverty is at its greatest and weaving is indigenous. You need to go to Africa." And at that time, I didn't even have a passport. I knew where the African continent was, but couldn't name very many countries within it. And that began the journey to start to find artisans who were living in extreme poverty, who could weave baskets that I could buy from them at this prosperity wage model I invented, start importing them into the United States, and sell them. And that was back in 2003, and by the fall of that year, we were in our first Whole Foods Market store, and the rest is history. Today, we're in over 250 Whole Foods Market stores throughout the United States and Canada, as well as nearly 100 independent stores throughout the United States and Canada. And we sell tens of thousands of artisan-made products purchased at prosperity wages, which equals that sustainable exit from poverty.
Wow. How tough was it? What a story. How tough was it, Teresa, to take that first step? Like you said, you didn't have the passport. He makes the suggestion, oh, it sounds so good. But then you have to actually make the leap. You have to do it. How tough was it to make that leap and then watch what the benefits were?
Of course, it's always scary. So the first thing you're thinking is, okay. Like, and so my first question to him was, how do I do that? And he said, well, there's only one place I know of that you might be able to get a start, and that is through an online forum called the Mountain Forum. And I don't think it exists anymore today, but back in the day, it was no more than really an online chat room. But it was a place where people gathered to talk about the world's most pressing issues, saving animals that were endangered, helping rural development in developing countries. The perfect place for me to say, hey, world, here's this idea that I have, and if you have a need and you can weave, then contact me. You had to be introduced by a current member of the Mountain Forum, and he was. So he introduced me, and he said, the rest is on you. So I posted a paragraph on the Mountain Forum for every continent in the world. And overnight, I heard from 12 countries. Within 2 weeks, I was up to 25 countries and more than 80 inquiries of people saying, we need your help. And in that moment, I would like to tell you that I all of a sudden found a super cape and fancy red boots, and I was like, yes, I'm going to save the world. That is not what happened. As these inquiries start coming in, I am backing away from my computer screen as fast as anybody could, going, no, I was just thinking about it. I don't even think I was really going to do it. I was just really asking the question. I don't even know what you guys are talking about. And, we got the wrong person here.
We're going to cut you off right there, Teresa, because we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and hear the rest of the story. And I do believe you do have a superhero costume. And what people are going to find out is that costume is not Superwoman. It's not Wonder Woman. It's actually a male person's costume. So when we come back, we'll hear more from Teresa Carrington. She's the founder and CEO of 10x3, 10x3.org, formerly known as the Blessing Basket Project. Kate, anything you want to add before we go?
Yeah, Teresa, I think you're tremendous, and I can't wait to have
the rest
listeners
of the
hear
story.
The rest of the story, as this Paul Harvey used to say back in the day. So thank you so much for joining us, and we're going to finish up the conversation in our next segment.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
The March of Dimes and HCA Healthcare are committed to the best possible start for every baby. I'm Amy Casseri, Vice President of HCA Women and Children's Services, where we have the honor of delivering over 200,000 babies a year. We partner with the March of Dimes on research and fundraising to help build a brighter future for babies everywhere. So march with us on one of the many HCA teams assembled nationwide. Learn more at marchforbabies.org/HCA.